the sweeter He is. What a blessing to be back in the Lord's house this morning. I trust that you've had a good week in some aspects. It's been a trying week, a tiring week for the folks of Calvary anyway, especially if you put any effort into the Vacation Bible School. But to see seven souls respond. Now listen, those that were here, you know I didn't say if you want to go to heaven, raise your hand and then pick seven that I think got saved. I give the invitation and those are the ones that came and they responded in that measure. Others prayed, but we took the testimony of seven of them that they trusted the Lord as their personal Savior. And I thank the Lord for that. There's a couple or three of them here this morning. If you got saved yesterday and you want to tell the world, you want to put the devil on notice, you have that opportunity right now. If you got saved yesterday during our Vacation Bible School, the Bible said with your heart you believe, but it's with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. Any of you want to do that? I saw the little boogers here. I saw you little boogers. Where are you at? Anybody want to do that? I'm not coercing a testimony, but if you... I see you raising your hand up. You got anything to say, brother? He's raised his hand. We'll take that as his testimony. Anybody else? Jason, where are you at, buddy? You got anything to say? You get saved yesterday? Amen. Praise the Lord. Levi and Jason were two of them that responded yesterday, and there were others. I appreciate you being honest and coming. There's others. Where's somebody else over here? I didn't see her little hand. Praise the Lord, sis. Oh, there's another one over here. There's another one. I didn't see this little feller. He told everybody down at the kitchen yesterday that he got saved. I appreciate that. Steve, you raising your hand? Got another one over here. I'm glad you guys came back. It wasn't just VBS and done. I'm glad you're here this morning. Glad that you're all here this morning. There's one that has not been able to be with us. And Brother J.D., it's good to see your family back together. You look back there, you got your whole crew minus a few of the kids. Miss Teresa's been feeding the Methodists and the Baptists for 30-plus years. She now entered into a new chapter of her life that's called retirement. And I'm glad that you found your place back in the Lord's house. And you take care of Mom and Daddy, and you just love the Lord, and y'all enjoy each other. Kirk, good to have you back from your many world travels. It's just good to be here. Tam, good to have you and Miss Jan back. And as Brother Steve said, we got visitors. If you're here today and you call yourself a visitor, Brother Amos, wonderful message the other night. Are you a Christian? I never forgot over that. Brother, are you saved too? Amen. Oh, back. It's good to see you, Harold. Can you hear all the way back there? Amen. That's one of my good friends. Is Bobby with you? Harold, is Bobby with you? She's sick. It's good to have you with us, brother. If you can't hear, you come up here and sit up here with me on one of these little pews. All right. He said, I hear you. You know, the pastor's always seems to be talking. And yesterday, is Jessica and Chris here? Did they have Sophie and Sadie here? Are they here? I'm looking back through there. That little booger come out yesterday holding my hand from here to down to the Life Center. And the kids are brutally honest. And they say that little Sophie's got a whole lot of Nancy, which I never got to meet. But they say that Sophie's got a whole lot of Nancy in her. She grabbed my hand. We're walking down through there. And she said, Preacher, I bet your mouth sure is tired after all that preaching. That's what she told me. She said, I bet your mouth sure is tired. It is. It's a tired mouth. Brother Calvin, you got a grand younger that's coming on strong. I don't know, is he here? Back there he is. Listen, these kids are challenging us. The Bible said to suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven, and forbid them not to come. He cornered me down there at the Life Center, and he said, Preacher, I got a question. And here we are, I'm thinking, I guess the naivete of myself thinking this little kid's going to ask me something easy. He said, in the creation of the world, I said, did God make the heavens and the earth in 6 days according to man or 6 days according to God? And I said, and you're taking that scripture from where? Me being super uber spiritual. I said, are you considering that 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day, and a day 1,000 years? And anyway, we went through the entire Gregorian calendar, through the leap years. We went to all these different scriptures and determined that the Lord made it in 6 distinct 24-hour periods, according to the scriptures. And we used that according to the New Testament writings, that man was not made for the Sabbath, but for the Sabbath for the man. And the Lord made it in 6 days and then rested. So let me tell you, these kids are listening. And yeah, I'm going to have to go back to school. You go ahead and put him in timeout somewhere until I catch up with him. I'm telling you. The book of 1 Corinthians this morning. Our Sunday school lesson was wonderful. We were over in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 4. If you don't come to Sunday school, let me encourage you. It was about trials. It's about overcoming these trials. And it's not that trials might try to come after you, or trials might find you, but it's that trials will come. And they often will come through areas and in avenues and ways that you know not of. And it's not always the world that's going to come after you and persecute you. It won't always be the world. Some of them will come through the world, but some of them will come inside the sanctuary. Some of them will come inside of grace. Some of them will they'll hurt you where you're sitting. And I'm telling you, church hurts are hard to overcome. Paul said, I've been beaten. I've been in shipwrecks. I've been in perils of thieves and rock. Paul said, I've been everywhere. And he said, besides all that, he said, I got something else that's on me. He said, the cares of the churches. So he took it seriously. And then we in our Sunday school class, I don't know what you did in yours, but we ended up talking just a little bit about Joseph and how that Joseph had to undergo many, many obstacles and many trials and many tribulations and many testings. He was favored and loved of his daddy, but his brothers envied him and they were covetous toward him, even so much that they made like that he was killed and threw in a pit and took the goat blood and put it on his coat and took that coat of many colors back to his daddy and said that Joseph is no more. And you know, then you think about what Joseph had to overcome and all those trials that he went through. But every bit that he went through was all because of the providential hand of God to get him from where he was at down into the land of Egypt over the grain. You said, well, God could have just killed Pharaoh, flew Joseph in down there, put him over. God works in mysterious ways, and he used the trials and the tribulations of this man by the name of Joseph to show us in the Latter-day Church that trials will come. But sometimes they come to further the gospel. Sometimes they come to benefit. But anyway, thank you to Ashley. Thank you, Sophie, if she was here, for keeping me humble and keeping me right before the Lord. There's a quality in these children that we need to admire and look at. And I'm thankful for the 7 young souls that were saved. But we'll go ahead and stand and read it and read the reverence of God's word even now. And I'm going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 4 just a few minutes, because these two closely align each other. The scripture that I will be in and then the scriptures that we read in Sunday school this morning. We're going to pick up our reading in chapter number 1 of the book of 1 Corinthians. And then we'll pick up verse number 8. And this is again talking about troubles. Paul had troubles, and he often wrote about his troubles. But moreover, he wrote about his troubles that we might learn how big God is. I'm glad that in our troubles we've got a great big God. I'm glad that whenever we have an open wound, he's got a balm for that wound. He has a balm in Gilead. He's got the help. He's got the hope. He's got everything taken care of. And lest we ever lose sight of that, I bless God, we'll try to take care of it on our own. And I can't take care of my hurts. I can't take care of my wounds. I can't take care of my own family, much less take care of myself or the church decide apart from grace. I can't do that. I can't do it. I'm not that big, brother. And you're not that big, brother. And you're not that big, my brother. You can't do that. Gwen, as many years as you pastored, and as many years you pastored, Brother Amos, you pastored for what, 50 plus years. I don't care how strong you are. You could not mollify. You could not help all the brokenness of your people. You couldn't do it down there at Arbor Grove. You couldn't do it at Little Elkin. You couldn't do it at New Hope or any other church that you served at. And bless God, you're not going to be able for one pastor to do everything that God does, but God can do it. Brother Tommy, he can help you whenever your mama passes. He can help me whenever I have a heartache. He can help me whenever I'm going through a persecution or some kind of struggle. Brother Danny, when you wreck your car, God's still there. And whenever you need something from God, grace is still there. And I'm glad that it is that way. Man, I can go from 0 to 60 pretty quick. But let's read our scriptures. In verse number 8 of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Bible said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now get a load of verse number 10, because that's going to become the text verse. Who delivered us, and that is in past tense, that is ED, delivered. I see y'all flipping your pages. Have I told y'all something wrong? I'm sorry, it is in 2 Corinthians. This, to my credit, this page says 1 Corinthians. This page says 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I looked up top of the page, Brother Tam. You there yet? I got a funny book. I got the King James Bible, brother. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians. Just like I turned, but I did not say. Are y'all there now? Verse number 8. Let's start this thing over. Anybody that would hold that against me, come up here real quick. Brother Russell, anybody want to come up here? We'll put you in the seat right now for about 3 seconds. I'll hand you this microphone. Come on, Cole. Chris Arnder, come on. The Bible said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." Our text verse is verse number 10. And like I said, it's got an ED on the end of deliver. It said, who delivered, that's meaning in past tense, us from the great death, and doeth deliver, which means the present, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, which is to come. That's the God that was, the God that is, and the God that shall be. And you'll see all that wrapped up in that verse number 10. The Bible said, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. You took the bulletin, you read Brother Lindsay and Miss Brother Justin and Miss Lindsay's text about how that many came together, and that many had to do that. The many facets and fingers of Calvary come together to put together our VBS. This is not a one-man band. This is not a one-man show. I am but one pastor, but we are many members, all part of the same body. So we go into that. It says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit. And that second benefit can be read in there, and we'll look at that in a little bit. Maybe we won't. Brother John Shoemate, ask God to bless us. Amen. As you're being seated, let me just say this is going to kind of be a twofold message. I'm going to be there in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 1. But for those that were in Sunday school, it's going to be very familiar, because I want to go back to the book of 1 Peter just a minute. Paul's telling us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, he said that we would not, brethren, that you have been ignorant of the trouble that we've had down in Asia. And then he goes right in and he said that that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul didn't know if he was going to live from one day to the next because the haters of God. Paul was a Jew. He was a Pharisee. He was those of the house of Benjamin. He was the one that if anybody could boast, he could have and should have, or maybe shouldn't have, but he could have, but he didn't. But they hated him because of his position of faith. He was the one, he said, born out of due time. He was the one that God revealed unto that he would go down to the house of Ananias, that the scales would come off, that he then might show the light and be the light unto the Gentiles and show us about this marvelous thing called grace. But he was not without his own set of persecution. I'm going to flip over real quick to the book of Simon Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 1, and read just a little bit of his stuff, because it bears reading this morning that trials are never easy. Trials will come. Trials are there before you now. Trials will be there tomorrow. But even in that 10th verse as I just read, bless God, he hath delivered us. He will deliver us today, and he's yet going to deliver us in the future to come. And we need to remember that trials are never easy. But bless God, they leave us physically drained sometime. Sometimes they leave us totally emotionally scarred. But bless God, I guess the greater of all those hurts above the physical or above the emotional would be that those things scar us sometimes very deeply, spiritually speaking. And that spiritual wound, that spiritual hurt, sometimes, Brother Scott, man, that strikes us right to the very core. It strikes us to who we are. And my wife and I, we prayed about some things. And sometimes she's prayed about something and it did not go the exact same way that she thought that it might. And that's okay, because we're going to trust God in it. But I remember her in specific saying sometimes that this one seems to hurt just a little bit more than some of the other ones. And I said, why so, honey? And she'll say, because this is a spiritual hurt. This one hurts deeper because I'm scarred down to my very soul. The physical, yeah, we get tired. The emotional, yeah, we get drained out and we get depleted because we're having to fight this fight or that fight. But bless God, when it's emotional, it's one thing. When it's physical, it's another thing. But when it's spiritual, it's on a whole different plane all by itself. And I want to look into this real quick. And I have to flip back not only the book of 1 Peter, but I'm going to use Daniel, the book of Daniel, just a minute. And I want to think about this just a minute. That when you're in a trial, and that trial is not of your own choosing. You didn't invite it, but there it is. Now you're going to have to contend with it. BJ, you didn't want it. You weren't looking for it, but there it is. It's yours. It becomes your lot to have to contend with. Tam, you didn't invite it. It's unmerited, but here it is. Now you've got to face it. Daniel, because he had a foretime, he was a praying man. And whenever he prayed, Brother Danny, that decree that come from Darius was, you don't do what you've been doing. And somebody in some future place or time might tell you that you're not going to do what you've been doing, preacher. You're not going to do what you've been doing, preacher. You might think you are, but you're not. You live on this land. You abide by our laws and our rules and our regulation. And that might very well come in our lifetime, Brother Kenny, that they'll say you're going to have to temper the tone of that just a little bit. And as we are instructed to temper the tone, we're going to have to understand something. It's going to be a trying time right there, because now you're going to have to decide whose side you're on. But Daniel, as he had aforetime, he understood that there was something going on, that whenever I'm going to be cast into that den of lions, or that lion's den or den of lion, bless God, God's presence has gone before me. Whenever Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fiery furnace, bless God, there was something they wanted to know. Am I going to be okay? They said, we don't know if we are or not, but we do know this, that our God is able. And we need to remember that God is able. We don't know if we're going to burn up while we're in there or what, but we trust one thing: God's able. He might not do it, but he's still able to do it. And bless God, the presence of God will be in your trial, and the presence of God might even point you to a greater purpose in your life. Trials are one thing. God's got a greater purpose for your trial. He did it for Joseph as he moved him from that dry well, from that pit, all the way to the palace. It didn't go one way straight up. No, brother, he'd get drawn out and thrown back into some other situation. He would go to the prison. Then he would go over to Potiphar's house. He'd be lied on. He'd have all these things. And brother, ain't none of that stuff to me going to seem pleasant. But there he was, rising up each time. He probably looked like a heart monitor. Probably looked like the stock market. Up and down, up and down, up and down. But the presence of God was always there. The presence of God will always be there for you. The same as it was for Daniel when he was in the lion's den. He had protection. The same as it was for those in the midst of the fiery furnace. You had the protection of God. Why? Because they didn't even smell like smoke, Brother Kenny. did not even have the stench. They suffered no loss. They had no stench of smoke about them. They didn't even smell like they'd been in a fire. I know sometimes I'll go out and burn a brush pile. I'll get a little bit close to the fire, and they say that smoke follows what? Brother, that's just covered me up. Amen. Say that for the church.
Beauty.
Yeah, thank you. Smoke follows beauty. And I'm out there and that smoke's just covering me up. And I get all sooty. And I go in and Sandy said, "Whew, you stink. You smell like smoke." Those boys didn't even stink like smoke. They didn't even have the smell of smoke about them. Why? Because while they were there, the presence of God was there and the protection of God was there. And bless God, the power of God was upon them. Why? Because he delivered them from that, brother. And whenever they got delivered, bless God, what happened to those that would throw them in? Bless God, they got rounded up and tossed in there themselves. The power of God resting on a man's life is unlike anything that you will ever experience. If you've been saved, you've got it. Don't wait for the consolation. Don't wait for the indwelling. When you get saved by God's grace, Brother John, you get it all. Amen. But some days you just don't feel saved. Some days you do feel saved. Some days you don't feel like the dunamis. You don't feel like you've got the power. Some days you don't feel like you've got it. But bless God, you've got it. It's there. I'm going back to our text. I told you I'd be quick. I was going to be in two or three places. But it's hard to separate these trials and hard to separate the persecutions and the thing that we've got. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to talk about today's message, our great deliverance. To him that has been so steep and deep in sin. I've heard the testimonies of many of you. Much was forgiven. When you got saved at an early age, maybe you feel like, well, I don't have a grand testimony because I got saved so young and I wasn't delivered from drugs or alcohol. I wasn't delivered from illicit sexual affairs. I wasn't delivered from this or that. Bless God, your deliverance is the same. Brother Gwen, I don't care if you got saved out of the midst of the mess, on the other side of the mess, or before you ever got into the mess, your deliverance was the same. That scripture said that he had delivered, as in times past, he hath, will deliver, or doeth deliver, and that he will deliver in times yet to come. I want us to look this morning just for a few minutes about a couple things about our great deliverance. You say, well, preacher, what have we been delivered from? What did little Levi get delivered from? What would Jason be delivered from? Preacher, what did you get delivered from? Bless God, I got deliverance at the age of 13. Do you realize the song that Brother Scott chose? I didn't tell Scott to pick that song, but the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Do you realize that one of these young men, a Jason or a Levi, a young Clay, a young Cole, a young this, a young that, that gets saved early in life. Brother Kenny, they may be the one that replaces you at Arbor Grove. They may be the one that replaces me here in the pulpit of Calvary. If God would let me live and let me preach, you know, here at this church. Brother Feldman was here for 30 plus years. I've been here about 11. If God let me do that, Brother Kenny, I'd probably be in my early 70s, somewhere along the late 60s, early 70s, still hammering it out for God. And all of a sudden, there's one of these little kids that's about 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. And by now, well, how old are they? They didn't stay 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. No, bless God, they got saved in a Bible school. And when they got their grand deliverance, they got their great deliverance, Brother Tam, the same as they're 11 now, 20 years old. They're now in their early 30s. And you know what? God might have a touch of life, a touch of grace on their young life. And the next thing you know, there's an old man by the name of Lester. And there's an old woman by the name of Jamie. And bless God, they're now up in their late 50s and in their early 60s. And they hear that their young lad that got saved on a Saturday, back in the month of July in the year of 2019, got saved by God's grace. He's announced his call to preach, and now he's a hammering out some young 30-year-old preacher preaching the word of God. Why? Because he got deliverance early in his life. I'm telling you, this thing's real. You say, what did that little Levi, what did Jason, what did these kids get delivered from? I'm going to tell you what they got delivered from. They got delivered from a life of sin, praise God. Sin was upon them. Sin was in them. Sin was all around them, and they couldn't help it. Brother Jody, when you said you got saved, and you start crying every time you talk about your sinful life, and you just, it breaks you down. Why? Because you're not proud of that life. You're not excited about that former life. Bless God, let me tell you, You got something to brag about when you say, I got out of that mess by the grace of God. I got delivered from sin, and that sin is behind me, not to be brought up or reminded of me anymore. The devil will try to make you go back and live in it or think about it. But bless God, Brother Jody, if you'll go before a thrice holy God and you'll start pleading here, you're called before him, he's going to look down and say, my son, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember that against you anymore. You get delivered from sin and the curse of the law that is upon you, which is sin. That's what sin is. It's violating God's holy ordinances. There's oracles of God that are against us and contrary to us, Miss Wanda. And by the time we are violators of that, we are trespassers of that, and that becomes sin to us. But God delivers us from that. You said, did he do it for Peter? Did he do it? Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth. Did he do it for Paul? You better believe. Dennis, he was a persecutor. He said, I was injurious to the church. I was hurting. I was against the church. I hated the church. Even had letters in my hand that I might go down toward Damascus and get some more Christians, bring them bound to Jerusalem, that they too might be punished. But God got a hold of him. Delivered him. I'm going to move this lest I kill myself. I'm just going to move it over here. I about hit my head on it two or three times, and it's about perfect place for me to kill my temple. This temple, not this temple. But God delivers us from sin. The next thing that I'm going to say is he delivers us from self. I guess that's the hardest for each and every one of us to deal with. Deliver us from ourselves. Brother Gary, you beat yourself up all the time. I wish you quit doing that. There's some people that's exalted with pride. And pride is a big thing to have to overcome. I'm not saying you were delivered from pride. You're quite the opposite. You put yourself down. If you put yourself down, bless God, you're putting Christ down. Christ lives in you. My Christ is bigger than that. Your Christ is bigger than that. But we have to deal with this thing called self. And when the self rises up and it feels inadequate, when it does feel more adequate than it should, called pride. Bless God, God knows how to deal with that. He can deliver us from sin, but he can also deliver us from ourselves, Brother John. You are somebody on a straight and narrow going somewhere. And Satan will say, you're a nobody going nowhere. He is a liar. And the Father of all lies. So he not only delivers from our sin, not only delivers us from ourselves, but bless God, the greater in my life, praise God, he has no power in me. He'll deliver me from Satan. Brother Tan, he has no power over you. He has no power over me. Bless God, he's been defeated. He is a defeated foe. You said, well, bless God, Satan rules my life. Bless God, you need a bigger God. If Satan's ruling your life, then you need a bigger God. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan's the prince of the power of the air. He's the one that's controlling the purse strings of this country. He's the one that's jerking and pulling. He's the reason there's so much animosity and condescension in the world and destruction among families and people. That's Satan.
Yes.
He delivered you from the power of Satan over you. Satan has no right over you. You said, what about Job? God kept Job through it all, did he not? You said, but Job had to go through some things. Preacher, I know he did. But in all these things, God charged not. Job charged not God foolishly. He said, hey, I come in naked. I'll go out naked.
Amen.
Naked, I came into this world and naked I leave, Brother Danny. But blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Job said, well, I've got deliverance over that. Speaking of our great deliverance, he won't just deliver us from sin. He won't just deliver us from ourselves. He won't just deliver us from Satan. But bless God, whenever I say I'm preaching on this great deliverance, read that 10th verse with me again. It said, who delivered us from so great a death. Do you realize we were under a sentence of death? For the cause of just sake of time, yesterday on the front of your bulletin, I put an old country church. For those that weren't here, we had a town scene here. We had a town scene here. And in the middle, the screen was down. Over here, we had a mercantile. We had a general store. We had a bank. We had the dry goods. We had those things. Over here, we had a little prairie setting. But in the skit that was to come, Macy May was the roving reporter and Jake was a scoundrel. But as you see, bless God, they got saved by God's grace. And I got to preaching on that yesterday. I put an old country church, and that's what's on the front of your bulletin today. I put an old country church on the front. And then we moved from the country church to a barroom saloon, speaking of sin that was in our life. But the very next slide was a slide of a gallows. And those that were caught up in sin of horse rustling, horse thieving, murder, or whatever, Brother Tam, they were marched across the gallows. Why? Because they had a death sentence. But my friend, that's the death sentence every one of us are under. That's the death sentence, Brother John, you were under. I'm under. Brother Chad Spears is under. Bless God, we had a death sentence on. So if we have this great deliverance from sin, we have a great deliverance from self, and we have a great deliverance from Satan, what are we being delivered to? Are you just delivered and set aside? What are we being delivered unto? If you get deliverance, you don't just deliver something. You don't set something free, Brother Scott, to just go free ranging. You don't. Even the cattle that are free ranging in the great state of South Dakota have some boundaries. My wife and I driving down I-90 going through South Dakota. Ryan, you'll hit an off-ramp. About halfway down that thing, you hit this thing called a cattle grate. You run across it. You know what that is? Y'all know what cattle grates are? Amen. Pieces of cement. It's got cutouts. It looks like this. And you know where they're at? They're at the end of the off-ramp of an interstate. You say, why so? Because there's free-ranging cattle there. There's no fences. Those cattle pretty much can go and eat wherever they want to. But one thing they can't do, they can't get on that interstate. How'd you have to be running about 85, 90 miles an hour down there and hit a side of beef? You talk about roadkill to the extreme. Somebody going to get hurt. And whenever we get delivered from sin, from self, and from Satan, God doesn't just deliver us and say, okay, you're free. Go out there and do whatever you want to do. No, he delivers us unto himself. I want you to see this. It says, who delivered us from so great a death, doth deliver in whom you we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So when we get delivered, Brother Kenny, we're not delivered from the yoke of bondage of Satan to just go do what you please. No, you are delivered unto him.
Amen.
You become, as you said in Sunday school, a child of the King. Brother Gwen, we become a child of the Holy One. And Miss Mary, whenever you become a child of the King, what do you get? Bless God, I am the heir of Wayne Hall. I am his son. And Brother Ryan, we are descendants of Wayne Hall. There's nothing that we can do about that. And Dad, at the end of his life, has two nickels to rub together. Guess what? He's got a bunch of children. Guess what? We're going to take them two nickels, and you're going to get about two pennies out of that. Bless God, but you know what that's called? That's called an inheritance. And bless you, God, our earthly daddy may not have much of a grand inheritance to give us, but Brother Kenny, my heavenly Father has got a grand inheritance which to give me. Bless God, he saved me, and he delivered me from my sin. He delivered me unto himself. He delivered me unto all holiness. You say, I don't see holiness in you, preacher. Bless God, neither do I. But Brother Kippy, he sure does. When he looks down from the high court of heaven, he's going to say, Brother John, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's going to see the holiness. Not mine, but his righteousness had been imputed unto me. He delivered me from myself, from my sin, and from Satan's yoke unto himself, unto holiness, Miss Mary, and unto something. Bless God, this alone would be enough to get saved for. He's delivered us unto heaven. You said, I sure don't want to go to hell. A lot of people just want delivered from hell. That's the only reason they would come up here. I've heard preachers, and I don't do it. I don't think I've ever done it. Said, I'll scare the hell out of them. I'll preach the hell out of them. Bless God, you can't scare that out of anybody. You can't get that out of anybody. Bless God, Brother Kenny, you preach Jesus and preach him in love, Brother Gwen. He'll deliver them from that.
Amen.
He'll deliver them from that, and he delivers them unto himself, Amen. Unto pure holiness, undefiled. And bless God, he delivers him unto himself in a place called heaven. Sue B. Brother Tommy, that name mean anything to you, Sue B? Sue B. had a testimony. You get to revel in the fact that you, your testimony itself a while ago spoke of your mama. You said, I shed just a few tears, and then my tears were gone. Brother, when I come through the Sunday school, I mean, when I come through the funeral home over there and come around there and hugged your brothers, both your brothers' necks, and I saw you down there, and there were no tears. You said, boy, he's dry-eyed. He's terrible. His mama passed. No, he knows where mama's at. If you're going to do anything for your kids, you ain't doing anything for Marty Parks, you let him know where mama's going. You going to do anything, Miss Jamie? Brother Lester, y'all want to do anything for Clay and Sawyer and Levi? Let them know where y'all are going. Leave them a testimony that you love the Lord. You want Thomas and Joseph to know anything about Daddy? Bless God, you live before them. You let them grand youngins see Jesus in you. You let little Sidney Oakland see Jesus in Mimi and Poppy. You let Sidney see that. Live before God and let them see His holiness living it out in you. He saved you. He delivered you from self. He delivered you from sin. He delivered from the yoke of Satan's bondage. He delivered you unto Himself. He delivered you, Ben, unto holiness, that you might be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And Brother John, He's delivered you unto heaven. Amen. You say, well, bless God, we ain't there yet. I want to live down here just as long as God wants me to, Brother Gwen. But be not mistaken. When it's my time to go, guess what? I'm ready to go. I don't need to go do anything. I don't need to go delete anything. I don't need to go pour anything out. I don't need to go say, I'm sorry. I don't need to go grant forgiveness or ask it of myself, Brother Danny. You said, boy, you're perfect. No, but He is.
Amen.
You're perfect, ain't you, preacher?
Yes, sir.
But He is.
Yes, sir.
He delivered you unto Himself.
Amen.
I bear in my body the marks of the cross.
Yes.
I bear in my body those marks. Brother Kenny, we've got but one life to live. Could we not live it for Him?
Amen.
We've got but one life to live. Could we not live it for Him? We've got one death to die. Could we not die for Him?
Yes.
Old song said, I want to die on the battlefield. I can't think of anything better to do. Come up during our Sunday school mess, old Birch Handy. Y'all remember old Birchie? Old preacher from up in McGrady. Preached over here probably as long as y'all have. Brother Amos, I know you remember Birch Handy, old preacher up in the hills up there in McGrady. Preached for 55, 60 years. Bless God, he preached at old-fashioned Baptist church just a few years ago. And bless God, while he was hammering it out, while old Birch is preaching the Word of God, you remember this? Bless God, God took him right out of the pulpit of grace. He said, I ain't got but one life to live, and I'm going to live it for Jesus. And I ain't got but one life to give and one death to die. Let me die in the battlefield. He died in the pulpit, Brother Tam. Dead before he got him out of the church. Brother Scott's going to come and get us a song. Miss Macy's comes even now. Hang in there, children. Persecutions are going to come, but bless God, you've got deliverance. Troubles are going to be there, but bless God, you've got deliverance. Problems are going to face, but you've got a promise that God will help you through that. Listen, you said, preacher, is your ministry the greatest ever? It could be better. Is your marriage the greatest ever? It could be better. Is your church the greatest ever? It could be better. But I have to look inside of myself. I can't fix everybody. I can only fix me.